Well, I'd invite you all to take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke. We're going to take a brief break from the series in Judges and go to Luke. Just thinking about, you know, we often on days like today talk a lot about earthly fathers. And much is made of earthly fathers, which is good and right. But what about our Heavenly Father? We also have a Heavenly Father. And so I wanted to look at a passage this morning that talks about our Heavenly Father, Jesus himself teaching his disciples. So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, many of you know this passage well. There's some things in here that you can really dig deeper into. Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray together. Lord, we need you. We don't understand everything here in this passage. We need your Spirit. And we just read that you delight to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask you. And so we ask you now, would you help us? Would you open our eyes, minds, ears, our hearts? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we're thinking about Father's Day, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had trouble talking to your father? Maybe you had to ask a question, ask something you're really not sure how they're going to respond. Sometimes my kids will come up and say, "Dad, I have a question for you. You're probably going to say no, but..." Have you ever felt that way with your father? How will he answer? Maybe he won't answer at all. And I think it's even harder if you have a distant relationship. Some of you have distant relationships with your father. And actually, that's similar to many people who have a distant relationship with their Heavenly Father, isn't it? But this disciple here sees Jesus. He sees Jesus praying, and what does he do? He asks him, "Lord, teach us to pray." In other words, teach us how to speak to the Father. And Jesus answers with what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And I think what he's saying here is we must call on our Heavenly Father. So 3 things this morning. Number 1 is to revere his person. It's great how the Holy Spirit works. You know, I was planning the service this week and I was really struggling. What hymns do we choose? And trying to fit them in with the text, and here I see this verse, "Father, hallowed be your name," and what hymn do I think of is "Holy, Holy, Holy." But then I decide to go with another one, but I really wanted "Holy, Holy, Holy," and so the Holy Spirit, without me telling, Barb, she picks holy, holy, holy for the offering. So as she started praying, I just, thank you, God. He does that. So we revere his person. Father, hallowed be your name. We need to know who it is that we're calling on, don't we? Now, there's two misunderstandings that I think are very common today in thinking of who God is. The first is, God is my buddy. We're like drinking buddies, right? We're going to go out and have a good time. We're going to hang out. We're on the same level. Well, sorry to disappoint you, but you're not on the same level as God. We could even say it's the same as a father-son relationship. You can be friends with your son or with your daughter, and same with moms, but there is a time when there's the authority needs to be exerted, right? And many who try to befriend their children actually fall into disarray later on in life. So there is some level of respect and authority there. Even Jesus had this with his disciples. Didn't he say he was the master and the disciples are the students? If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. I think we've lost reverence today. We've lost the revering of God's person in our day. We can see it clearly all over the place. But there's another misunderstanding, and that's that God is some higher power who is so far off. He's aloof. He's unknown. He's uninvolved at the human level. He's just some spiritual orb that we don't have any idea of what he really is. Well, that's actually incorrect as well. What does the Bible say? Well, Jesus gives us both right here. He says, if you pray, say, Father, hallowed or holy be your name. When we call on someone, we usually use a title, right? Or we use their name. The Father, calling someone Father is showing a relationship, a closeness. So there is that closeness. But God is also holy. There is that separation. Holy means to set apart. There's a distinction. And why would we say, hallowed be your name? Well, the Hebrews believe that God's name was his character. It was his person, who he was. Some of the Jews wouldn't even speak it because they believed it to be so holy. Do you know, many years ago, George Washington, actually Larry told me this, George Washington, first president of our nation, he was a general in the army. If anyone took the Lord's name in vain, he would tell them, it's time for you to leave the army. Can you believe that? He believed that God's name was to be hallowed. God is set apart from us. He's perfect compared with us. We are not on the same level as him, yet he is our Father. And we are invited and called into a relationship with him. So when you call on God, do you honor him? Do you revere his name? Sometimes we come to God, God, please, this or that. But what about first? God, you are holy. You are righteous. You are true. And just as we honor God, earthly fathers and mothers are called to be honored, aren't they? There is a relational authority structure of with one of our children was struggling with this. They wanted to be on the same level as mom and dad. And Karen actually had a great idea. She said, she sat down with them and she drew a triangle. She said, God is up here, mom and dad are here, and you are here. This is the authority that God has set up and placed over you. Oh, I don't like that. Yes, that is what's in your heart. And yet, God says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment of the promise, for you shall live long in the land, right? There's a blessing when we follow God's ways. So Jesus here is teaching his disciples the same thing. You know, one thing that strikes me is he says to the disciples, you can say Father. And I think that they would have stepped back for a minute and say, wait a second, that's your Father. You're telling us to call your Father our Father? That would have been a big deal. And Jesus is also declaring that he is the Son of God, isn't he? to his disciples. So we must call on our Heavenly Father first to revere his person. Secondly, we call on him to request with persistence. Jesus tells this story. This is kind of a strange story. I had to read it many times to see if I could figure out what in the world is he talking about here, and I still don't know if I fully grasp it, but here we go. So there's this friend, and his traveling companion or friend comes to him at midnight. Why would they travel? Some people say they travel at midnight because it's colder, it's cooler. In the hot sun, it would be hard to travel. So the friend gets there at midnight, and there's no bread. So you all, I know I have this friend who has some bread. He goes over to the other friend, knocks on the door. Ah, I need some bread. And the other friend says, I can't get up. My kids are with me in bed. Now, before you think what in the world is going on in that house, it was a one-room house. Everybody slept in the same room, probably slept on a mat on the floor all together. So if he gets up, unbolts the door, walks around, rummages, trying to get some bread, maybe turn a light on, it's going to wake the kids up, right? But Jesus says here in verse 8, he says, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's friend, yet because of his impudence or persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I looked this word up in the Greek, this impudence. It's kind of a word we don't use all the time, and it actually means shameless persistence. So in other words, you're not ashamed to just keep knocking and knocking and knocking, even if someone's going to come to the door with a shotgun and say, would you quit that? That's shameless, right? I'm going to persist until it's answered. Jesus also tells a story about a widow who's persistent. She wants justice. And she comes to this judge, and this judge doesn't fear God. He doesn't respect man. And she keeps asking, give me justice, give me justice. And the judge says, well, I don't fear God or respect man, but I'm going to give her justice so I won't be worn down by her persistent requests. So it's not the relationship, it's not care in his heart for her, it's the persistence that gets the justice. And here I was surprised. I thought for sure he would get up because he's a friend. Would you quit that knocking? We have a relationship. I'll get up and give you what you need. Just stop knocking, right? But actually Jesus says it's not because he's his friend. It's because he's persistent. So what does that mean for us? The point is pursue God with persistence. Don't give up. There's so many verses about asking and receiving. I was telling the men's group yesterday, we met over at Matt Luno's land, and I was telling them a story about George Mueller, who he was very persistent in prayer. He was the guy over in England who started an orphanage and just depended on God, never asked anyone for any money. He always, if he had a need, he would pray. And he was persistent. And he was interviewed in his 90s, and he said to the interviewer that I've been praying for someone or two people for 50 years to come to faith, and they still haven't, but I'm not going to stop, and God will do it if it be his will. He said, you pray for a couple times and then you give up. He said, don't give up, pray with persistence. So he could say, well, how do I do this? Well, what does Jesus say? He says in verse 9, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So one person says this about these three words. Asking is showing that you have a need. There's a position of humility. And you know your need. You know, Vermonters don't like to ask anyone for anything. You know, it's amazing that we live in neighborhoods, and we all have our own lawnmowers. We all have our own weed whackers. We all have our own tools. We all have our own this and that. And I thought, what if we just put a shed in the middle of the whole neighborhood and we had one lawnmower, one weed whacker, one tools, wheelbarrows, all that stuff, and we could all share it. And yeah, okay, we'd have to have a sign-up sheet, this, you know, who takes it out, where to go get it. And you can see, okay, that would be, that could get interesting, but we don't like to ask, do we? And if something breaks, my neighbor's lawnmower broke last week, and they had to ask me if they could use mine, which I'd love for them to use mine. That's fine, because I use theirs many times, but even if I didn't. But we have this independence. I'm not going to ask. But Jesus says you need to come to God and ask. Why? Because you have needs that only He can fulfill. Seeking, someone said, is asking with action. So asking and acting. In other words, say let me get them out here. This is common to many of you. You've lost your keys, haven't you? You put your keys somewhere and you can't find them. So let's say the keys are hiding in the chair. I'm probably going to forget them and then wonder where they are. And I can't find them. I've looked all over the place. And so I said, okay, I'm going to stop and pray, which we should do first. God, will you please help me find my keys? Please help them to show up somewhere. And now I'm just going to sit down and relax. Well, that's not asking and seeking, right? We need to ask and seek, too. And that goes for many things that we ask for. And then knocking, someone said, is asking plus action plus persevering. So in other words, I've lost my keys. God, please help me find them. I'm not going to sit down and I'm going to look, but I'm not going to, well, I've looked and forget it. I've looked there. You know, sometimes when our kids are looking for something, did you look there? Yeah, I looked. Did you look there? Yeah, I looked there too. So, well, let's go look again. Well, I already looked there. So, well, what does that mean when you look? Well, I came in and I went like this. Well, that's not looking. You got to persevere. You got to rummage through stuff. You got to turn things over. Open drawers, right? And the same is true with our Heavenly Father. When we ask, right? We have this need, and then we seek, and then we persevere. We don't give up. You know, sometimes it's the opposite, right? With kids where we're kind of bothered by persistence. Would you quit asking, right? But you know what? I learned this week that God does not get tired of our asking. And I thought, God, maybe you're trying to teach me through the persistence of my own children, the way that I need to be with you. That I don't persist in the way that they do. Now, sometimes we do need to accept the answer no, right? Even from God. Or wait. Sometimes that's His answer. But He wants us to be persistent. So, what do we need? Well, Jesus shows us here. First of all, we ask for Him. Your kingdom come, verse 2. We want you, God, to bring your healing, your hope, your renewal to this broken and dying place. Second, it's for us. Give us our daily bread, our physical bread, our spiritual bread. Give us forgiveness and then the ability to forgive others. Please give us protection. Protect us from temptation. Now, I know we pray this on Sunday. Do you know when you pray the Lord's Prayer, it can just be, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Are we really praying with faith, right? We can actually pray and mean nothing. And do you know what? God doesn't answer that prayer. He answers the prayer of faith. And so when you pray the Lord's Prayer, try to make it new each time. Try to focus on what is it that I'm praying. Emphasize a sentence. For example, instead of Father, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How about, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can think of, make it active when you're praying it. And remember what you are asking for. Don't just pray it on Sunday. Maybe you go home and you pray at the dinner table with your family or with your spouse or alone. Why don't you pray the Lord's Prayer? Right? You could do that. Do we request with persistence? Some of you are persistent in prayer. And others of you and us and me, we need more persistence. Jesus says, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you spend it wrongly on your passions. And so think about, what are we asking for? See, that's what the word ask comes in. It's showing we have a need. Now, we can ask for something we want, right? But wants are different than needs, aren't they? We'll talk about that in just a minute. So we call upon our Heavenly Father to first revere His person, to request with persistence, and here, third and finally, to receive His provision. God is a generous Father, and He loves to meet our needs. He will provide. Look at verse 10. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. You might say, well, I've asked and I haven't received. I've sought and I haven't found. I've knocked, it doesn't seem to be open to me. Well, it's all in God's time, right? Often we want to find those keys. I need those keys right now, right? But maybe it's the next day you find them. God gives us what is good. He's not stingy. He's not deceptive. He's not mean-spirited. Look at here. The child requests, verse 11, the son asks for a fish. Or he asks for an egg in verse 12. I thought about why a fish, why an egg? But if you think about it, these are basic daily necessities. They would go out, they would buy fish each day, or they would go fishing. These are the needs to sustain your life. So if a son is asking for a good thing, please, Father, sustain my life, give me a fish today, give me an egg, I'm hungry. Why would the father then go, here's a snake, or here's a scorpion? This is the opposite, right? This is what will harm your life, or even take your life, if it's poisonous enough. And Jesus is making the point here, saying, you have evil and sin in your hearts, and you know how to give good gifts to your children. You're not going to do that. You're going to give them the fish and the egg. Other places, the loaf of bread. These are physical necessities. But how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Do you see what Jesus just did? He changed from the physical to the spiritual. In other words, you need this bread, you need this food, you need the fish, you need the egg, but guess what? You're going to need it again tomorrow, and you're going to need it again the next day, and it's going to run out, and you're constantly going to be physically hungry, but God will give the Holy Spirit once and for all to those who trust in Him, and He will take care of all of your spiritual needs, which, by the way, are much deeper than your physical needs. See, the Holy Spirit is far greater. The Holy Spirit is God Himself in us. I want to tell you how He worked in me this week, the Holy Spirit. I was wrestling with, to be honest, I went to the concordance and I thought I'd like to do something on Father's Day because, Judges, it's not really fitting, especially the passage we're going to look at, which is okay, but I thought, let's do something on Father's Day. So I went to the concordance and looked at all the passages that had the word Father in it. I was just really struggling what to do, and I came to this passage, and I thought, okay, I think I'll do this passage, but I hadn't really worked through the whole thing, but I knew, and I was reading it over and over, okay, it's about asking God and receiving from Him, and He is our Heavenly Father. He wants us to come to Him. And so then I went to visit Susan's dad, Mike Cunningham. And so we're there, and Mike is laying in bed. He said, could you crank my bed up a little bit? And so I did that. He put his glasses on. He said, I like my Bible. And so I got him his Bible, and because I asked him, is there a passage you'd like for me to read to you? And he told me a passage and then another passage. And then I said, is there anything else? And so now he wanted his Bible. And I said, are you thinking of, you got anything in mind? He said, of course I do. And so I waited, and he opened to 1 John. And I thought this was very interesting, and actually right in the moment, I realized this. He read this verse, 1 John 3:22, says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And then he skipped over to 1 John 5:14, which says this, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, he just read those verses randomly, and should I say to myself, wow, I'm pretty lucky. God knew what I was looking at. No, God knew what I was looking at, and he used the mic to minister to me these verses which directly connect with this passage. And to my mind, Mike was reading them at random, but those were verses that he wanted to read. He didn't know what I was preaching on. And I thought, thank you, God. You knew. And he is so good. And you might think, well, that's just some little thing, but actually, that's such reassurance, especially when you're struggling with what to do. We have a Father who gives generously. And he also gives costly, to the point that he gave his own Son, Jesus. And he exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, right? Holy be your name. That we're told that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. He gave his Son Jesus to bring his kingdom. What did Jesus say? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Jesus inaugurating the kingdom. Jesus came to give us each day our daily bread. He is our daily bread. He says, I am the bread of life. See, people are thinking we need daily bread to eat. But Jesus says, I am your food that you eat. I am the bread of life. Jesus came to, what do we say next? Forgive us our sins. That's why Jesus came, that we would be forgiven and able to forgive others. And then he says, lead us not into temptation. We are protected in Christ. Jesus showed us how to fight temptation, didn't he? And then verse 13, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Guess how we have the Holy Spirit? Through Jesus Christ. So how do we have a relationship with this Heavenly Father? Bob read it this morning. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You must have Christ to be in a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he tells us to pray in his name. He is interceding for us. And so I would challenge you this week, or even today, as you think of your Father, think of your Heavenly Father, who is always there, and he wants you to come to him and call on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can even speak to you with our hearts, with our voices, right now, because of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are adopted, that we are loved, that we are holy, that we are chosen. We thank you that we are your special children because of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that we would come to you and ask, knowing our need, that we would revere your name, that we would be persistent with our requests, and that we would receive your provision. For you are so generous, and we thank you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name.